That is a miracle. When somebody confesses Jesus is Lord, it is a miracle that has taken place. Guys, we're about to jump into our message today. We're going to continue in our series entitled, We Are Family. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. If this is your first time, welcome to Bethel. My name is Lance, and I get the great privilege of serving as lead pastor at this church. But before we start the message today, I do want to let you guys know about something that's coming on September the 9th. September the 9th, we as a church celebrate 14 years as Bethel Community Church. 14 years ago, this church was started, and we're going to celebrate that by having our anniversary picnic. And so a lot of you guys have received this. We'd love for you to make plans to be a part of this. This is also a great chance to invite your friends and your family to the service on September the 9th. But at 1 p.m., we're going to be going to the park and spending some time together playing some games as a church family. So really hope you can be a part of that. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 through verses 20. 13 through 20. Today's message is going to be really, I believe, engaging for every single one of us, no matter where we're at when it comes to our relationship with God. I believe this message today is going to speak to all of us. So let's come to this word as we read these scriptures. Let's come with great expectation. Let's come with great excitement, saying, God, you're going to speak to me today. Amen? All right, here we go. Let's read. Starting in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, those who were following him. It's a great question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, their response was, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. Others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, we love you. Lord, speak through me, your servant today. Encourage your people, God, by what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been in the series entitled, We Are Family. If you have not been able to listen to these messages or attend, I encourage you to go to our podcast, BethelCommunity.Church, and get yourself informed of what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. We've been talking about really just the power of you and I coming together as the church. And really, as you look at what people are saying about the church, especially the future of the church, you actually find out that it doesn't look very good. People are really wondering, is the church here to stay? Or is the church something that's going to become irrelevant or something that's going to become archaic? See, now in our today's world, there's many ways that you and I can connect, isn't there? Obviously, with social media, has changed the way that we connect together in relationships. And so really the experience that you have here by coming together on a Sunday morning, a lot say you can get that in other ways. Maybe you can have church online. You can get your Jesus on by experiencing church online. Pastor Richard and I have talked about this. In the future, more than likely, they're going to create something that we can put over our eyes, and you can instantly be teleported into your favorite church service, virtuous church. I'm telling you, that's going to happen someday. We're going to be able to place something on our eyes, and we can immediately go to our favorite pastor, have our favorite church experience through this virtual reality. We're going there someday. And there really are. There's a lot of church experiences out there that you can be a part of. Do you understand what I'm saying by when I say the word church experience? What I'm talking about is church that really works very hard at making you feel real comfortable when you show up. You think about maybe you pull into the parking lot. In this church experience, man, they want you to have a great experience. So what they have is the parking lot attendants, soon as you pull up, begin to bring cookies to you. Freshly baked cookies. How many of you guys would like that? All of you would love that, except those who are on a diet would hate that. You get cookies soon as you pull up in the parking lot, then you walk in the front door, and somehow, magically, this church that you're attending has your favorite cup of coffee. Man, it's gotten even better. Cookies and coffee. You come into a sanctuary, and they have all of these lights on the stage. In fact, you have this smoke machine that begins to arise as worship begins to start. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are actually churches that actually produce, they have these fog machines or smoke machines that begin to play or begin to start as you begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as a pastor, so you kind of hear a little bit about, get behind the scenes of my thinking. As a pastor, you watch all this. And this is drawing people all around the United States of America. People are showing up to this, wanting to get cookies, wanting to get good coffee, wanting to have the greatest light show, smoke coming up, worship experience or church experience. And so as a pastor, what you do is, man, you want people to show up. Pastor Richard and I love when you show up. You want people to show up, so you begin to think, maybe you should begin to do this. And so we begin to bake cookies back in the day and give to our parking lot attendants. The problem we have is our parking lot attendees, they ate all the cookies before they were able to give them to those who came into the building. We thought to ourselves, maybe what we need to do is get a big light show. Smoke, lights, best sound. But then we begin to think to ourselves, I thought worship was not about what happens on stage. Worship was not about noticing a man or a team. But worship is about Jesus. It's about looking to Him and not being distracted about who we're focusing on as we sing, as we worship, as we're led into God's presence. See, friends, here at Bethel, really what we desire, when I say we, I mean all of us together. When I use the word we, I'm talking about you and I, not just me as the pastor of this church or Richard as the pastor or Pastor Ron. I'm talking about us or Pastor Travis. What we desire is that we have decided to focus not on an experience. We don't want you really have a church experience. Now hear me, we want to strive for excellence in everything that we do as a church. From the parking lot to the children's ministry to the messages that we speak to the worship, all that you see in experience as you come. But we don't want you just to have a church experience. What our desire for you is that we want you to have an encounter. Not an experience, but an encounter. We want you, and our desire is to encounter who Peter said he encountered as Jesus asked him the question, who do you say that I am? We want you to encounter the Christ, as Peter said, the Son of the living God. Notice what Jesus said to Peter after Peter acknowledged who Jesus was. He immediately told him what? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Basically, what he was saying is that human effort did not bring this understanding or this revelation of who I am. See, friends, great lights, a building that has the best sound, all the church trimmings, Jesus is saying, did not reveal this to you. Jesus said, who did this? But my Father who is in heaven. It's called special revelation. Throughout Scripture, we have what's called general revelation. That's when we look at our planet and we see the magnificence of our sky and the trees and how awesome our world is. That's general revelation. Something out there greater than us had to create this. But yet, that doesn't lead us into a relationship or an understanding of who Christ is. It takes what the Bible talks about, special revelation, where our eyes are open to see who this God and what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. Thank God for great speaking and great singers and great volunteers. But here at Bethel, we desire something so much more for you. We desire that the Father would move you in such a way that your eyes are open to see not a man, But you begin to encounter Jesus Christ for who He is. As your pastor, this is what I desire for you. That as we gather together on a Sunday morning, or in a community group, or a volunteer team, that we don't just have a church experience. Because church experiences come and go, don't they? But when we encounter Him, the one who died for you and I, the one who gave His life, let me tell you what it begins to do. It begins to transform you. It begins to change you. It begins to mold you into something new. Something that you never thought that you could be. You know, I'm going to share two testimonies with you today of those who just didn't have a church experience, but really who encountered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the ministry of you and I coming together on a Sunday morning. And I'm so thankful that these individuals have allowed me to tell their story because, see, all of us have a story to tell. But most of the time, we hold our story close to us and don't really tell anybody because why? We're afraid that we're not going to be liked because our story is told. Or we're going to be rejected because our story is told. And I'm so thankful for these individuals this morning that have allowed me to share their story. Because they understand that their story is about Jesus transforming them. And as you hear their story of how He changed them, it can encourage you that He can do the same for you. This first story is about a young lady who actually grew up in California. And this young lady was addicted to drugs at the age of 14 years old. She started using it at 14. Obviously, this addiction started continuing throughout her teenage years, and she ended up meeting an individual, a man, and getting married, and both of them began to use drugs together. This young lady actually went to rehab three times before the age of 18. And the last time she told me that she went to rehab, she actually looked at herself in the mirror and she did not recognize who she was. But she told me, she said, as she was looking at herself in this mirror, something arose on the inside of her that began to tell her, this is not you, that you're made for better, that there's something better for you. This is not you. This young lady grew up not really understanding all there was or is about God, but knew that there had to be some higher power out there. And so she got in rehab. After the fourth time, she got in this 12-step program. And all of a sudden, she began to see change in her life. She moved from California to Clarksville, Tennessee. I don't know who does that. Who moves from California to Clarksville, Tennessee? Thank you back there for those hands. You understand? It's crazy. Struggle is real, exactly. California's got some good weather, Pastor Richard. From California to Clarksville. She actually moved in with her cousin. Her cousin's name is Sarah, and Sarah actually attended Bethel Community Church. So Sarah began to invite this young lady, and she started coming. Now you can imagine what's going on in this lady's head. I'm a former drug addict, and I'm coming to a church. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard to have a painful past or be going through something right now and show up to a place where you believe there's a lot of holy people at. People that have never done anything wrong. People that are perfect. And so like many of us, including myself, she faced all these insecurities and these fears. And what about somebody finds out about me? What about if they knew what happened going on in my life? Man, what about if they knew I went through a 12-step program? Surely they're not going to like me and desire me. They're going to reject me. But as she started to come, she found out something much different. She started getting involved. She took steps that she began to hear from this pulpit, like Starting Point. She went to Starting Point. And what she actually discovered in Starting Point is some of the very same principles that she found in that 12-step program. She began to hear those things in Starting Point. She began to put two and two together. This is where they got all of that. From the Bible. Jesus in Starting Point started to become real to this young lady. Her eyes began to be opened. See, guys, a lot of times when it comes to growing our relationship with Christ, a lot of us get the wrong ideal about this. We think it's kind of like magic that happens immediately. Boom. Now, for some, it does. We come to a service or we hear somebody's story and immediately we say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. Not for me, it didn't happen like that. It was a process, about a month-long process that I went through. I was engaged. I was coming to church. I was going to, they called them small groups back then, but yet my life was not surrendered over to Christ. But as I continued to come, Jesus continued to work in me. He continued to move on the inside of me. And this is what happened for this young lady. Started going to Starting Point. After that, she ended up going to a community group. She started getting engaged in the life of the church. And this young lady surrendered her life over to Christ, and she got water baptized. And this young lady, many of you guys may not know her story, but you know her name. And her name is Nicole. Nicole Wolf. This is Nicole right here. Nicole currently now serves. She's our media team director. Nicole is a pillar in the life of our Rush Youth Ministry. This is one of our strong Rush youth leaders. Nicole, you got your name Vasquez on there, Nicole. I know, it was a while back. Nicole Wolf now. God has transformed Nicole's life. Because why? She had an encounter with Jesus. And today, Nicole is 6 years sober. 6 years. 6 years. What a powerful story. What a powerful story. But she actually found something else as she encountered Jesus. Again, all these insecurities and fears that she had about what others were going to think about her, she actually found something different. See, as Nicole continued to come, what she found was family. She found church family. She found people that were not going to reject her for her past, but actually were going to embrace her. So much so that they were going to encourage her, hey, you need to tell your story. And I remember last year, Nicole coming up to me and telling me, she said, Pastor Lance, I just want you to know for the first time I'm telling my story to the kids in our Rush Youth Ministry. And what a great story to tell. This next story is a couple that started attending Bethel because really a trauma that happened in their life. Ross and Amber, they have some children, but they had a little young girl by the name of Elena Jewell. They call her EJ. And Ross, all of his life, really has battled with this whole ideal of this God. Ross was a former soldier. He experienced a lot of things as a soldier, but also in life itself. And Ross saw the evils of this world, and it caused him really to struggle. How can there be such a good God when we face so much evil in our world? So he struggled with this God. Struggling with who he was. One day, Ross and Amber are outside, and their little daughter, EJ, is actually playing. Ross was there on a boat. Ross was showing his daughters how to cast a fishing rod, how to fish. They're in the backyard, but the boat is parked on the concrete pavement, and little EJ began to get on the motor without Ross really understanding what was happening. And EJ ended up slipping off that motor, falling head first into the concrete where the boat was parked, head hit first. Immediately, Ross picked her up, rushed her to the hospital. They get to the hospital. You can imagine his parents how panicked they are. Their little child is unresponsive. She's bleeding. The nurses begin to come in. Doctors begin to do their thing. The nurses begin to tell Ross that, Ross, we actually need her to go to sleep. Now, of course, Ross always ever heard before all his life, if you never let anyone go to sleep who's had a concussion or something happened on their head. So he gets very angry. He runs out of the room. And as he's running out of the room, something hits him. Ever since Ross and Amber have gotten married, Amber has made one statement to Ross over and over and over again. And that statement is, you just need to pray. You just need to pray. Now, of course, Ross, he didn't believe in God, struggling with all this stuff. He never had prayed before. But how many of you know, you get yourself in a situation where your child is injured, You're going to do whatever you need to do to see that child make it. So right there, in this hospital, Ross remembered what his wife Amber told him. And he just began to pray. God, will you rescue little EJ? This meant so much to Ross because EJ actually was born right after Ross lost his younger brother. His younger brother ended up passing away. EJ ended up going through the CT scan, and when she came out of that scan, the doctors were amazed. She began to sit up. She was aware. She was coloring. Her motor skills, all of that was there, and the doctors were amazed. What in the world is going on? 3 days later, Ross and Amber were able to bring EJ home. EJ wakes up that following week, and he goes to Amber. He says, Amber, I want to go to church. And Amber is astonished, what, like mouth drop. What? You want to go to church? They come to Bethel Community Church. As Ross begins to sit here, just like many of us today, it hits him. I think these guys are talking to me. Isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit will do that? He'll be standing up here talking. Somebody, you're thinking to myself, do they know my past? Has somebody told them my story? Ross began to think, they are talking directly to me. So what did Ross and Amber do? They took steps. They began to get involved. Ross began to attend Pastor Richard's men's group. He began to hear about who this Jesus is, what he's done for him. He's having an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ross ends up surrendering his life over to Jesus. And when the husband gets saved, let me tell you what it does to the family. It changes the dynamic of a family. And a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Richard and I got the wonderful privilege of baptizing Ross and Amber. Here's their picture here. Give them a big hand clap. Ross and Amber. Next week, they've signed up to attend Starting Point. They're getting engaged in the life of their church. See, what are they finding? They're finding that when you encounter Jesus, you don't just encounter him, but you also encounter a people. What I love about Peter's story here in Matthew chapter 16 is this is a good moment for Peter. Peter had some good moments, but you know Peter also had some bad moments. Later on, as you continue to read the New Testament, what you find out is Peter had a very bad moment by denying Jesus three times. Three times. A little girl walked up to him, some people walked up to him, and he denied Jesus three times. I don't know him. The Bible even said he started cussing. Who knows what he said? We don't know. He started cussing about who this Jesus was. I don't know him, man. Three times. But what's so interesting about Peter's story is that when Jesus came back for him after Jesus had risen from the dead, Jesus connected him with the very people that he let down. He took him right back to the men and the women that he was walking with before he denied him. And what's so interesting about that is you don't find these individuals rejecting Peter. Because why? They had the same failures, the same struggles with who this Jesus was that Peter did as well. And what Peter found is he found a people that were going to embrace him. He found that as I encounter Jesus, I also encounter a people that God has called me to walk with. I encounter a family. I love Nicole. One of Nicole's favorite statements, and she's heard us say this here on the pulpit, is that when you find your people, you find your purpose. Now, when you first hear that, it sounds a little bit cultish, I understand. But it's so true that when you find the people that God has called you to walk with, purpose and destiny and calling begins to be birthed in your life. The reason why is because you actually begin to stick at a place, you get roots planted in a place where somebody can begin to dive into your life, help you follow Jesus, because we all need to follow him. And this person that's helping you follow him or group of people, they begin to discover giftings and talents that you have. Did you know that, man, when you stand up and talk, people actually pay attention? You might have a speaking gift on you. Did you know when you actually talk to women, talk to moms, that moms really begin to take notice? And you might be able to lead a group of moms someday. But what happens is what we do is we jump from church to church. Now, I understand, a lot of us in here are military. You get moved. You really don't have, it's not your choice. But what I'm saying today is what we do is we jump from church to church and we never get planted. So therefore, the giftings and the talents and the destiny never gets discovered. Because you never allow roots to go down. Well, somebody can see you and say, man, that's on the inside of you. And call that out of you. You don't find family. When you find your people, you find your purpose. You find family. You find people who care for you. People who are willing to put up with your craziness, because all of us have it. I got craziness, you got craziness. And every church in this community is not called to put up with my craziness. But you are, sorry, you are. Because God has brought you here. But you're willing to. There's a grace upon you to put up with it. Because you and I are called to walk together. We're called to be one. When you encounter Christ, you also encounter a family that you're called to walk with. We are family. See, here's what Jesus, he ends with as he's telling. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. What's the rock he's talking about? The rock that he's talking about here is the rock of revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. A lot of other religions kind of get this messed up. They think he's talking about Peter being the rock. Peter's not the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. And the rock that the church is built on is the rock of revelation of who Christ is, that he is Lord. This is what Jesus is building his church on. But as he builds this church of you and I coming together, what Jesus goes on to say is something that he gives the church. He goes on to talk about how he hands us keys. What do keys do? Keys what? Unlock things. Keys ignite things. They start things. Now, I don't know if you know, but every single one of us today have been handed a set of keys. And those keys are called to unlock something. And I believe those keys are called to unlock you and I's purpose that we have together as we follow him as a family. Each of us has a key. And each of us has a story. And every time we're like Nicole or Ross and Amber and we tell our story, guess what it is? It's a key that unlocks somebody else. Because your key or your story can cause somebody to say, if Jesus did it for them, maybe he can do it for me as well. Maybe he can do it for me. But this is why every story matters. This is why every person matters. This is why your giftings and your talents and you being here, you taking steps and getting engaged with the church, this is why it matters. Because why? We're a family. God has called us to walk together. God has called you and I to be on mission as a family. Amen? Pastor Ron, Pastor Rich, you can come on up. You know, a lot of people ask me, Pastor Lance, Why do you give? Why do you give your money to a local church? Because it really sounds awkward, doesn't it? Why in the world would we ever take our hard-earned money and give it to a place where we don't know what's going to happen? Why would we do such a thing? And I look at people and I tell them, you know what? The reason that I give, there's many different reasons, but one of the main reasons that I've chosen to give my resources, my money, my time, everything that God has given me to Bethel is because it's through my giving that allows you and I to gather together. Bethel Community Church is it's a place where different stories, different cultures, different backgrounds can come together. If there wasn't a Bethel, then all of us would be scattered abroad. We'd be scattered somewhere else. Now, great, there's a lot of great churches in our community. But yet God has called you and I to walk together as a family. And when we bring our stories together and we're willing to tell our story, I'm telling you what we begin to do. We begin to have an amazing impact on our community together. Because people don't just need to hear Lance's story. They need to hear your story. Your story. You got a story to tell. And if all they ever heard of Lance's story, then they're getting a small picture of who this Jesus is. But as we come together as a family, and we come together, we bring our stories together, my gosh, can you imagine what we can do as a church? Upon this rock, Jesus is building his church, you and I together. The gates of hell will not prevail. And he's handed all of us keys. All of us got keys today to unlock the potential and the calling and the destiny in one another's life. Father, we love you so much.